loving and praise Him for a minute. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, just love Him. Let's entertain His presence for a minute. I don't want to get into too big of a hurry here today, but let's just feel after the presence of the Lord here for just a moment. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. That's what I need. Holiness, holiness is what You want for me. Oh, for me. So take my life and form it. And take my mind, transform it. And take my will to conform it to Yours, to Yours. Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I want to read from the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation and the 5th verse on this final Sunday afternoon of 2015. Verse number 5 of Revelation 6 says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse." How many of you have heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse? This was the third. The first was the white horse, the second was the red horse, the third was the black horse, and the fourth horse, which we will not concern ourselves with today, was the pale horse. But he said, "He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say," and by the way, the four beasts and the 24 elders, and I'm not going to get too deep, don't worry. I know some of you, when folks start talking prophecy, your eyes glaze over. Mine do too. But I got to fill in a little bit of the background. And the four beasts and the 24 elders in the book of Revelation are almost universally believed to represent the church. He said, "I heard a voice out of the midst," or out of the middle of the church, "say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny.'" And by the way, a penny in those days, nothing like it is today. A penny in those days was a full day's wages. All right, so that's some expensive wheat and some expensive barley. But the last line is, he said, "See, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Amen. That's what I want to preach on today. Wheat, barley, oil, and wine. Before we pray and we're seated, I realize there is a fine line when you start talking prophecy and end time. There's a fine line between being deep and being incomprehensible or unintelligible. I used to tell Brother Jeremy he would get excited about one of the thousands of feasts in the Old Testament, and God bless him, he'd want to share it with the church, and I'd say, "That's fine, brother, but just remember, it don't excite them as much as it does you." He was a good sport about it. But the thing to understand is, some people, when you start talking about these four beasts and 24 elders and wheat and barley and balances and oil and wine, they just get all jiggly. They get all excited. Other folks, they're just like, "Can we move on to something that makes sense?" So I'm going to try to help it to make sense to you today. But I feel like the Lord has spoken to me this week, because there's really no point in preaching it if it doesn't make some kind of sense to you. Amen. I want us to pray and ask the Lord's blessings on His Word today. Let's pray right now. We love You, Jesus. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for what we have felt already in this service today. We pray, Lord, that You would move in the remaining portion of this service and open up Your Word to us and help our understanding and help us to receive what You'd have for us today, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to try not to be too long, but I also don't want to rush. Again, this is not really a teaching message. I know sometimes I talk about treaching. You might look at this as treaching. I don't know. But this is really more along the lines of a word from the Lord here today. John had a vision, John the Revelator. And by the way, we're going to be talking about two different Johns today, so we can't get them confused. We've got a John in our church back here, and that's not one of the two we're going to be talking about today. But there's John the Revelator, who saw the visions of Revelation, one of the disciples of Jesus. And then there's John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, no relation that we know of to John the Revelator. But so I'll try to keep those straight as we talk about them. But John the Revelator, exiled on the island of Patmos. And while he was on the island of Patmos, he had a vision. And in his vision, he saw these precious commodities that we just read about. And I gave you the four commodities, the names which were wheat, barley, oil, and wine. A measure of wheat, this was under the third horseman of the apocalypse, or the end time. A measure of wheat, so that you understand, is less than a quart. So we are not talking about a lot of wheat here. Three measures of barley would be less than three quarts of barley. A penny, as I've already pointed out, was a day's wages. And so what John sees, John the Revelator, is he sees a time when you could buy a quart of wheat for a day's wages. In other words, it was very precious. It was a time, the theme or the idea or the key element of this passage is the rarity and the preciousness and the value that wheat has and that barley has. These are the key elements in the end time. Just a measure or less than a quart would cost a day's wages. How many of you understand today that God is a God of mystery? God loves a good mystery. Do you know that? Many of the ways of God are hidden. Many of the thoughts of God are not open to everybody. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares this to be true. The Bible says that God's secrets are not revealed to everybody. Oftentimes when Jesus would speak to crowds, He spoke in parables, and the Bible says that He wouldn't even explain the meaning of the parable to the crowd. He would give them a mystery, and then He would let them chew on it a little bit. But you know, the ones that He told the meaning of the mystery to, His disciples would come to Him later, and they would say, Jesus, Lord, why didn't You give them the meaning of the parable? And Jesus replied, because unto them it is not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but it is given to you. Why is it given to one and not given to another? Because some just came to feed, to eat the five loaves and the two fishes. Some just came to get a miracle. Some just came to have blind eyes opened or deaf ears unstopped. But there were others that said, I need to go up on the mountain with Jesus and hear what He's got to say. Because what He has to say is more important than what He's going to do for me. And so there were some that were hungry enough to follow Him a little bit farther. It's a mistake to say That because so much of God is a mystery that we can never know it. Because on the contrary, one of the great themes of the Bible is ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. You'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So Jesus mystified the crowds with his parables. But there were some that followed him a little closer. And they wanted to understand. And they wanted to know more. And they sought to know more about what Jesus was trying to tell them. And so they would follow him up to the mountain and they would say, "What is the meaning of the parable?" And Jesus would say, "I'll tell you because you ask. I'll tell you because you wanted to know." Out of all the mysteries in the Bible, Revelation is probably the most mysterious of all of the books. It's a book that is filled with symbolism. There are people that have wrestled with this for 2,000 years. And no, I'm not going to come before you today and claim that I have all of the answers. If there's one thing I am not, it is not an expert on prophecy. I will be the first to admit that. But I also know that like every book of the Bible, it is a book that is rich with meaning to those that will seek it out. And so John the Revelator saw first, and y'all will give me just a little bit to get a little foundation here. John saw a pair of balances in the hands of the third horseman. Balances represent the dualism that we see all throughout the Bible. What do you mean by dualism? Oh, from the beginning of the scriptures, there is the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. There is right and there is wrong. There is light and there is darkness. There is good and there is evil. There is wheat and there is chaff. There are sheep and there are goats. There's heaven and there's hell. There's God and there's Satan. So we see this pattern all throughout the Bible. And balances represent the judgment of God. Even today, the symbol of justice in the United States is a blind lady holding a pair of balances. The prophet told Belshazzar, interpreting the word of the Lord, whenever he sinned in the book of Daniel, Daniel said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." So balances are the judgment of God. But what I really want to focus on is our text talks about four different commodities, and I need you to hang with me just a little while. They are wheat, they are barley, they are oil, and they are wine. And one of the things that I noticed that all four of these have in common is that there is a strenuous method of preparation that goes into each one. Wheat and barley are sifted and ground into flour or meal. Oil is pressed. Amen. Wine is first pressed from grapes and then it's aged through the fermentation process. In other words, none of these is of value by itself until it goes through a process. You can eat a banana right off the tree. You can eat an apple right off the tree. You can eat an orange right off the tree. But you don't just pick up wheat and eat it. You don't just pick up barley and eat it. It has to be processed. It has to be refined. It has to be sifted. It has to be ground if there's going to be anything useful to come out of it. And so John the Revelator said, "I saw wheat, measure of wheat for a penny or a day's wages, and I saw three measures of barley for a day's wages." Now, all throughout Scripture, and again, I'm trying not to get too deep here. I'm just trying to keep it on a level where everybody can follow me for just a little bit till I lay the foundation here. All throughout Scripture, grain represents people. It represents souls. What are you trying to say? Joseph dreamed that his brothers were sheaves and that they bowed down to him. Amen. Old Testament prophets would prophesy about the threshing that God was going to do to separate the good from the evil. Amen. This is a common refrain. Amen. We'll talk about barley here just for a minute and then we'll come to wheat. I know I'm kind of getting them out of order. But in Revelation 6, barley is not as rare and it's not as scarce as wheat is, but it is still rare. What does barley represent? Well, in Judges 7, the Bible says a Midianite had a dream, and he saw a barley cake that represented Gideon's army come down and destroy the Midianite army. I believe that barley in Revelation 6 might represent the Jewish people. I don't know. It's very possible. Again, I'm not an expert. The Bible declares there's going to be a remnant that's going to be saved in the tribulation. But I also believe, and this is where I might part ways with some folks, that barley might also represent the thousands that love God, but they don't have the whole truth. Amen. I believe that there are millions of people that are living in all of the light that they know. Amen. And I believe that there may be a chance that somewhere down the road, whether it's through tribulation or whatever, that some of them are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want to turn your attention back to wheat for just a minute. Because throughout the scriptures, wheat represents the blood bought, the Holy Ghost filled, the Jesus name baptized, children of God. The psalmist David said in Psalm 1 and 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, the godly are the wheat and the ungodly are the chaff. John the Baptist preached, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. Can you say amen? Jesus repeatedly used wheat as a symbol for God's people. He told the parable of the wheat and the tares. He told the parable of the sower. He told his disciples in John 12, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. And by the way, everywhere the Bible mentions corn, it's talking about wheat, because the Middle East and Europeans did not know corn like we know of it today. They didn't find that out until they arrived in the New World. The Indians showed it to them. But he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So this concept of wheat as symbolic of the children of God was very common in Jesus' teachings. Are you still with me? So when John saw his vision in Revelation, he saw wheat that was precious. He saw wheat that was rare. He saw wheat that was expensive. Less than a quart of wheat for a penny or a day's wages. In other words, what John the Revelator was saying is, after the chaff is separated from the wheat, those that are left are going to be few in number. Straight is the gate, Jesus said. Narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. The Bible declares that many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because when we get through going through the sifting and the refining process that God puts us through, oftentimes it doesn't leave very many that are left. There's a purging process to that preparation of wheat. The prophet Amos said in Amos 9 and 9, lo, I will command, I will sift the house of Israel among all nations like as corn. Remember, that corn's added by the translators. They didn't have corn like we have. Like corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake us nor prevent us. Amos is talking about the good wheat that would be spared by the sifting process, while the sinners would fall away. Earlier I talked about John the Baptist preaching about that purging process. Look at Matthew the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse. I promise you, I'm heading somewhere with all this. Hang in there. Amen. John the Baptist preaching. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now notice, John's message is a message of repentance. For this is he that was spoken about the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The purpose of John's preaching was to straighten people out. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't you just love that? How many folks would stay in a church where the preacher called them vipers? Amen. John said, you came to be baptized. I need to see some proof that you've even repented. Start acting like it. Start living like it. He said, bring forth the fruits meet for repentance. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so many times we have preached this as though this is a shouting message, as though he's talking about a fire that'll make you dance, as though he's talking about a fire that'll make you speak in tongues and shout all over the house. But that's not what John said. He said his fan is in his hand, and he's going to thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he's going to burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. John's not talking about a fire that makes you shout. He's talking about a purifying fire, a fire that separates the wheat from the chaff, a fire that burns up in you what ought not to be there, and that clears it out so that you'll walk straight, so that you'll live right, so that you'll live holy. This is not a shouting message. This is a message of repentance. And John is saying, listen, I didn't come to make you shout. I came to make you fall down on your knees and repent, because Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus told the parable of the tares and the wheat in Matthew 13, and I don't have it. I'll just have to recap it for you. But he said a man had a wheat field, and he said that one day the servants went out, and they saw that coming up with the wheat were tares. And I didn't really understand this until I started studying a little bit. A tare is a type of plant. It's a grain that looks like wheat. And to the untrained eye, it's hard to tell the difference, especially when they're young. And the servant said, we got a problem. We can't just go through the field and just willy-nilly rip everything up, because we might accidentally get some of the wheat in the process. And so the master said, you let them both grow together. Give it time. And after we give it time, it'll start to become apparent who's a tare and who's wheat. Let them grow up together, and sooner or later their true colors will show. Start praying and fasting, and sooner or later the true colors will show. Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. You want to find out where somebody's real spirit is? You start praying and fasting in church, and spirits will start to come out of people that you didn't know were in there. When you start seeking after God, you'll find out real quick who the tares are and who the wheat is. He said, let them both grow up together. Let them reach maturity. And then he said, when it's said and done, he said, I'll call for my reapers. Jesus later on said the reapers were the angels. He said, I'll call the reapers in, because the reapers will know the difference. And when the reapers come through, they'll gather the wheat into the barn, but they'll rip up the tares and throw them into fire. You see, there's a sifting process with this wheat. There's a sifting process for us to get to that place that John the Revelator saw. Some of you have been and are right now going through that sifting process. I have to be honest with you, I've never seen sifting like I have seen in the church in these last days. Amen. Brother Gray, you talked a couple of weeks ago about the coming of the Lord. I've never seen a sifting process like we are seeing it now. And sometimes there's a part of me that wants to reach out to people and stop the process and say, Lord, could you somehow ease up on it just a little bit? But the word of the Lord today is I've got to sift, because there are still some things that have got to come out. I've got to purify. I've got to refine. I've got to grind away everything that ought not to be there, because I'm putting together a church that's without spot and without wrinkle. And I'm getting ready to come back, and I've got to get my people ready. I've never seen sifting like this in the church. Our church has been sifted. We've seen a lot that have fallen by the wayside. Why? Because God is shaking the sieve, and he's saying, I got to see who's going to stay, and I've got to see who's going to get shaken out. I've got to refine them. And when I have finally refined them, you're going to see that they're going to be precious. They're going to be precious. He said, I saw a measure of wheat for a penny. Just one penny. And God said, oh, but it's priceless beyond value. Hallelujah. You see, friend, there are wheat. There are tares, rather. And there is chaff in your life that God is trying to sift out of you. He's trying to separate it. He said to Peter in one of the more famous passages, Peter thought he was in good shape. Peter thought he was ready to go. And Peter said, Lord, we'll go with you to the end. Nobody's going to touch you. Nobody's going to crucify you. Bible said, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. And Jesus' response to Peter was, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But this is the part that I never understood until a couple years ago. I preached it. Some of you might remember this now as we go back. But Brother Larry, I always wondered. I always thought to myself, Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. If somebody came to us and said, Satan is sifting me right now, our natural human tendency would be to tell that person, well, I'm going to pray that Satan will take his hands off of you. I'm going to pray that God will take you out of the sieve. I'm going to pray that God will take you out of the sifting process. But Jesus did not say that. Jesus did not say, Peter, I have prayed for you that the sifting will stop. That's not what he said. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. In other words, we got to let the sifting go on, because God's not through with you yet. He sees a preacher on the horizon. He sees a man of God on the horizon, and he's got to shake some things out of your life. And so I'm going to let that sifting process go ahead. Well, Jesus didn't pray for Peter to be delivered. Listen, you got to understand this, folks. If you don't get nothing else out of this, you get this. Satan cannot sift anybody that God does not allow him to sift. The second point you got to understand is the sifting comes from God. That's why Jesus did not pray that he would be delivered. Because it was a process that was preordained by God. Well, what about Satan? Satan is just the instrument. That's all he is. He may think that he's more than that, but that's all what Jesus was saying to Peter. Look, we're just using Satan. But this sifting process comes from God. And so what you've got to do is submit yourself to the sifting process and let God do what he wants to do in you and through you. When Satan went before the Lord about Job, he said, let me put my hand on him. God didn't stop him. God could have, but he didn't, because he had bigger plans for Job. And he knew that that sifting process was necessary. So he let Satan sift Job to make Job into what God wanted him to be. And by the way, I said there are tares and there are chaff. There's chaff in your life that's got to come out. Job had some friends in his life that needed to be sifted away too. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus didn't say, I will pray that Satan leaves you alone. He prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Amen. Satan was just the instrument. There are some things in your life today that need to be sifted out. And I am here to declare to you that before you can be that wheat, that precious wheat in the book of Revelation, God is going to let Satan work on you. Amen. I didn't get a whole lot on that, and I know that's not comfortable. Because as you are sifted, fake friends are going to fall away. As you are sifted, bad habits are going to fall away. As you are sifted, weights and sins in your life are going to fall away. Some people that you've grown up with, like the tares, they're going to have to be left behind because you're going to have to move forward. But Jesus is coming soon. He's getting his church ready. You might grow up together with some people, but you're going to have to leave them behind because God's getting you ready for the rapture. We love the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. But I ain't quite finished yet. Because we get into the good part. Oh, hallelujah. What about the oil and the wine, preacher? You forgot the oil and the wine. He said, I saw a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. Oil and wine throughout the Bible are recurring symbols for the Holy Ghost. The anointing oil in the Old Testament was to represent the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, they were very peculiar about how the oil could be put together. The law specified you can't just mix your own at home in your own little meth lab. The Old Testament said when it's put together, the ingredients are very special. There's to be none like it. It has to be very unique because it was the holy oil that they were going to anoint the altar with. They were going to anoint the Holy of Holies with it. They anointed the curtains with it. They anointed the furniture with it. It was everything. It represented the Holy Ghost that had not yet come. When kings were anointed to be king, what did they do? They brought the priest out and they anointed them with oil. Whenever a prophet or priest was established as a prophet or priest, they anointed them with oil because it represented the indwelling Spirit of God. Jesus told the parable of 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. And he said the wise virgins had oil in their lamps, but the foolish virgins, their lamps were empty. What does that mean? He's talking about there were some when the bridegroom came that were full of the Holy Ghost, and there were some that had put it off and put it off and put it off, and they were left behind. We anoint with oil when we pray for the sick because it represents the Holy Ghost and the presence of God. Amen. Wine is also a recurring New Testament theme for the Holy Ghost. Jesus talked about putting new wine into new wineskins to make sure that it don't burst. He said, he told his disciples before he ascended up into heaven, he said, I'll not drink the wine with you again until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God. What was he talking about? Well, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what Jesus was saying is, look, fellas, I've got to ascend to heaven because I'm going to come back on the day of Pentecost, and we're going to have a feast on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to sit down with you, and we're going to drink that Holy Ghost wine together. So much so that on the day of Pentecost, they said, these men are filled with new wine. Peter said, they are not drunken as you suppose. Wink, wink. He didn't say they're not drunk. He said, they're drunk on that new wine that Jesus was talking about that I would drink with you in the kingdom. And so wine and oil are representative of the Holy Ghost. What does that got to do with John the Revelator? You see, John the Revelator did not leave us on a sour note. What he said was, in our scripture text, he didn't just talk about how rare and precious the wheat and the barley would be. He didn't leave us to dwell on the purging and the sifting process that sifted away the tares and the chaff to get the wheat to that pure state that it was in Revelation. John the Revelator didn't leave us with that thought of how rough and how rigorous that sifting process would be. But he said at the end of that verse, I heard a voice out of the midst of the beast. Remember, the beasts are the church. I heard a voice booming out of the midst of the four beasts. And it said, see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Paul put it this way, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What he was trying to tell us is that even though only a small remnant would be left, God said there would be plenty of Holy Ghost to go around. I'm not going to touch the supply of the oil, and I'm not going to touch the supply of the wine, but it's still going to be sufficient for all of your needs. Hallelujah. Could you lift your hand and praise the Lord right now? Hallelujah. What I'm here to tell us today is that that process of sifting that you've been going through is preparation for the coming of the Lord. But no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, there's enough oil and there's enough wine to get you through it. There's enough Holy Ghost to get you through it. His well has not run dry. God has not forgotten how to deliver. He's still just as powerful today as he ever was. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. The wheat is sifted, but the oil and the wine are plentiful. Amen. Everybody say it with me. The wheat is sifted, but the oil and the wine are plentiful. There's enough to go around. There's enough to meet my every need. Hallelujah. If we'll just claim it in the name of Jesus, would you lift your hands and your voices with me right now? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about anybody else, but I have made up my mind that I'm going to hold on to the sieve. I'm not going to fall out with the chaff and with the tares, but I'm going to be part of the end time church. I'm going to tell you, some of you young folks need to get serious with God today. there's a sifting process that's going on, and some can feel it in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's time to get serious with God. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that'll come and fall down on their knees or their face before God? Can anybody hear? Can anybody hear the voice of John the Baptist?
Confess, God is love.
His fan is in his hand. Make straight the pathways of our God.
Everyone
has come to burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire.
Love has come for us all.
Is there anybody that hears the cry of the evangelist?
Every tongue confess God is love, and love is come.
Is there anybody that will hear?
Every heart set free, everyone will see. God is love.
Come on, saints, let's travail. It's time for the church to travail. It's time for the church to travail.
Tongue confess.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I want to be part of the bride. I want to be part of the pure and holy church. I want to be one of God's children.
See, God is love. And love is
God. Don't shake me loose, Jesus. Don't purge me out. I want to be part of the church. I want to be ready when you come.
Tongue confess. God is love. And love is God.
Hallelujah.
And every
purge me, oh God. Purge everything out of me that ought not to be there. Shake it out, sift it out, every tear, Lord, all of the chaff, Lord, cleanse it from my life, cleanse it from my life, cleanse it from my life, cleanse me, oh God, cleanse me, oh God, cleanse me, oh God. Cleanse me, O God. Cleanse me, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How long has it been since you paid dirt to the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since you had a renewing of the Holy Ghost? Young people, how long has it been since you had a renewing? How long has it been since you spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance? How long has it been since you felt the fire of God in your life again? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not too late, it's not too late, it's not too late. His cry goes out to you today. Hear the words of the preacher. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the words of John the Baptist. Hear the words of John the Revelator. Hear the cry of the Master today. Make yourself ready. Get ready! Get ready! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, shake the pride out of me. Lord, shake the sin out of me. Lord, shake the tares out of my life. Lord, shake the chaff out of my life. Oh, Lord, I cry to you, Jesus. I cry to you, Jesus. I cry to you, Jesus. Lord, I want to be holy. Lord, I want to be pure. Lord, I want the fires of the Holy Ghost to burn in me.
Every time,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
love has come for us all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Every heart set free.
Yes,
oh yes. God is love, and love has come for us all.
Hallelujah.
And every
yes. Yes, that's it. Hallelujah. Lord, give us a renewing. Lord, give us a refreshing. Hallelujah. Stir the gift. Oh, stir it up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Yes. I yield myself to you today. I surrender myself to you today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of
Jesus. God is love. And love has come for us all.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Give him a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let your spirit fall on him. In Jesus' name.
Love has come.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. God is love, love has come.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, yes, if us. Oh, hallelujah. Have your way. Have your way in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Come on, saints. This is Holy Ghost revival. This is what John was preaching about. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh yes, oh yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For a soul. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, and love has come for us all. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, God is love, love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, love has come for us all. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, and love has come for us all. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, God is love, and love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, God is love, and love has come for us all. And every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, and love has come for us all.
We shall every tongue confess, God is love, love is come for us all. Every shall every tongue confess, God is love, love is come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, love is come. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, God is love, love is come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see, God is love, love has come for us all.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul was one of the most educated men in antiquity. But after he received the Holy Ghost, he said, I count it all dung. And he also understood that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is a spiritual thing. I've said it a lot here lately. I'll say it again. We're not going to win it through committees, boards, programs. We're going to win it the old-fashioned way. Prayer, fasting. Probably some, I guess it would be around 70 years ago now. What would that be, about 1945, somewhere there about? I don't know the exact date, but about 70 years ago, my grandfather started preaching on a front porch in a little godforsaken podunk little place called Mount Pisgah, Mississippi, that the locals call Pisgy. My grandfather, what was his education, Dad? Seventh grade education. Started preaching. A local Presbyterian pastor made the mistake, at least in his eyes it was a mistake, of loaning the church building out to Grandpa. And this seventh grade educated person who only understood the things of the Spirit, but he had 15 doctorates in the things of the Spirit, prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted until that entire Presbyterian church was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Over 100 people in an area where there wasn't hardly 100 people in the whole community. The Presbyterian pastor got upset about it. I think made them move out. It's too late then. The whole church had already been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He didn't do it with a theology degree. He didn't do it with a doctorate or divinity degree. He did it the way it's been done and the way the early apostles did it. He did it the way the fishermen did it. Peter, James, John. John the Baptist, camel's hair, locust, wild honey. He did it the way they've always done it. Recognizing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Amen. And we've been fasting and praying, and we're not finished yet. Amen. I'm calling you to prayer and fasting again this week. Preferably 3 days if you can do it. You don't have to do them all back to back. But I'm asking you to do what you can. If you can't do all 3 days, try. You say, well, Brother Crocker, when are you going to stop? When we won the battle. Amen. We're still fighting. Hallelujah. I want to see revival, not just, I want to see more than just a good service. I want to see revival in our young folks. Amen. I want to see revival in the community, revival. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it in Jesus' name. And this Wednesday night, we will be having prayer here at the church, 7 to 8. And we're going to have a move of God. Amen. We're going to win this battle. Praise God. Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And we're going to take that to heart. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel a change in the air. I feel a difference in the air. Now, let me just say this in closing and warning to you folks. You got to be careful. Because remember, as I preached, the tares look like wheat. And you've got to make up your mind what you're going to be. When a church starts praying and fasting, there are people that, because they are oblivious to the things of the Spirit, they become instruments to hinder. And they are used by the devil. Oh, Brother Crocker, that could never happen to me. Generally speaking, the folks who think that way are the ones it's most likely to happen to. So you better humble yourself. If you don't want to be one of those instruments, you better humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to be part of revival. I don't want to be a hindering force, but I want to be somebody that's going to be, I want to be what's left when it's all shaken out. I don't want to be what falls. I want to be what's left. I'm hanging on to the bottom of that sieve. I started to bring one of them things. What do they call it? That you sifter? Is that what it's called? The sifter? I started to bring a little sifter to church. You know, the kind that's got the what's it? It looks like a screen on the bottom, the bowl like. Yeah, I started to bring one of them to church with me today. But I want to be the fella that just hanging on for dear life. I'm not gonna fall out no matter what you do. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Let's everybody stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and our voices and love Him today. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to obey the Lord and say one more thing before we're dismissed. Please bear with me. I feel this. Years ago, I preached a message. One of the Old Testament prophets, I believe it was Elisha. Sometimes I get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. Yes, I do too. But prayed for there was a famine in the land. There'd been no rain for a while. Elijah. Been no rain for a while. And he went to the house of a little widow woman who was about to starve to death. And he said, you give me what you've got left. And she made a cake for him and trusted the man of God enough to make a cake for him. And the Bible says that the oil did not fail until the rain came. And the word, I preached a message years ago called "The Oil Won't Fail Until the Rain Comes." And the word that the Lord wants me to give you today, some of you have been battling and battling and battling, and that sifting process has been going on and on and on and on and on. Just as we preached from Revelation, he said, you've got to trust me. The oil is sufficient. It's not going to run out. It's dry right now in your life. But he said, you hold on. You hold on. You hold on. Because the rain is on its way. And I've got enough oil to last you, plenty of oil, until the rain gets here. Hallelujah. Would you praise Him for it? Receive it and thank Him for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Sing one and dismiss. What you playing? Hallelujah.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah.
Surely,
yes,
the presence of the Lord. is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
God bless you, you're dismissed. Hallelujah. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.